Anyway, it's good to have you with us on the retreat. Father Raymond will be coming down. He'll give you his bio, but he's a Dominican from Nigeria. And we ran into each other on retreat about a year ago down here. He and I were on retreat, actually, and invited him out to the masses of healing prayers at St. Andrew, and he really was just so grateful. He's like, oh my gosh, this reminds me of my home, and I'm really grateful to be here, and I've been looking for these masses. This is so normal what we do in Nigeria. We have all these masses because he went down this litany, like we don't have the medications, we don't have this, we don't have that, and we believe very powerfully in the healing. So he's been coming out and participating, and so he'll be on retreat and hearing confessions as well. I would like to just kind of tell you what's been coming to my heart over the last couple of weeks. I think that there is a great fragility in the culture at this time. And this fragility, this fragileness is really causing people to not be aware of God's presence. I would like to tell you that I think it's a subtle way that the evil one is taking people's eyes off of Christ and allowing them to enter into the sinfulness of anger or gossip or divisiveness. It's something really I want you to examine in your heart right now. I'm not just talking on the topic of politics. What has happened to the communion that is supposed to exist in so many people's hearts? If I were to ask you, where do you see the lack of peace in your heart? I'd like you to write those down. You might just write a person's name, a situation. Why don't you give yourself five things? Try to be as clear as you can listening to the Holy Spirit, if I can invite you to do that. So let me draw an analogy. Let's say you show up at the ER and the doctor says, what's wrong? Everything. What hurts? Everything. Has something happened? No, just everything hurts. Well, does your arm hurt? I think so. Did it start in your arm? I don't know. Did someone hit your arm? No. I'm finding that people are not discerning, like, where is the lack of peace? And what they're ended up doing is they're sort of making this gigantic stew of unhealthy emotions. If you're growing in your spiritual life, and let's say there's struggles there, did you get the impression somewhere that you weren't going to struggle? Like, did you get the sense through Scripture when Jesus says, take up your cross and it's going to be really light and it's not going to cause any problems? Did you get that impression? Is it like some faith aspect? Is there a moral issue you're trying to address in your life? I mean, we know the wounds of sin. Let's face it. There's not going to be peace with that. Maybe you got problems, you're in relationship, spouse or kids, well, either don't stay married and go off and live in a mountain, but then you're there, and that's worse. And the children, well, what'd you expect? Unless you guys are like little St. Therese's running around with your perfect life. My point is, I can't get to some people's lack of peace because they don't have any idea where it's coming from. They they sense it. Yeah, it's in this relationship. It's with this struggle. But I can't get them to say, well, let's pray about that situation. Let's address it. And as soon as I start talking, let's talk about container A, they're all over the place about B, C, D, and E. It's almost as if they like the swirl. Really, I want to get in your kitchen right now. I want to get in your grill, because this prevents an awareness of God that is self-inflicted. And I really want you to write that word down. Some of this stuff is self-inflicted. Not all of it. You're going through a conversion, and there's grace happening in your life, and you're just waking up good, bad. You're like, what's going on, Lord? Well, you know, that's part of the deal. That's just part of it. You know the answer? Pray through it. Just lower your head and pray through it. It's not time to pull off on the side of the road and feel sorry for yourself. When God says in the scripture, be not afraid, I'm with you always, he makes the promise. He is in the very 2, 3, 4, 5 things that each of you wrote down. Look at that list again. Where is God in that first one? Where is he? Where is he in the second one? It might involve suffering. It might involve struggle. It might involve a lot of things in your life. But if you're going to say, Lord, I want you to be with me. You came on the retreat knowing the title, I am with you always. Do you not see that God is in each of those moments? Sitting, praying, discerning. Lord, where are you in this? You will see the power of God shining through. This is sort of a foundational point that was coming to my heart, because what I was thinking was, well, how am I going to penetrate telling these folks, I am with you always until the end of time, when, well, maybe God's here on retreat and I just need this spiritual sugar cube, but as soon as I go home, everything's mayhem. Well, actually, God's actually there as well. God's actually in that mayhem, but you have to be able to discern it and a quiet heart and looking for that, and then aware of the agitation that comes at you. Like really becoming aware, like, what's the agitation? And it's not always everybody else's fault. So you say, well, this is not working. I'm not getting along with this person. Well, maybe that's your pride. Maybe that's a lack of charity. Maybe there's something in you that's totally, believe it or not, ladies, competitive. And so, how can you be at peace? Do you see that God is in each of those places in your life that you wrote down, whether you wrote 2, 3, 4, 5? And what limits that awareness is either I'm not willing to pray about it and really have a sit-down, face-to-face conversation with the Lord about it, and I want to stay in denial because that's safer. Or maybe you already know the answer and you just don't want to deal with it. You just don't want to face it. God, the Lord, gives us his abiding mercy. When Pope Francis said Jesus Christ is the face of the Father's mercy, what he really was trying to say is it's this ever-present welcome home. It's this ever-present awareness that where you are in this time and place is where there is mercy. Mercy isn't when you finish 25 rosaries. Mercy isn't for the person who is broken. Mercy is for that person that's struggling. But agitation and that lack of awareness says, I don't see that. Go with me into the first thing you wrote down. Where is mercy? Like, look at that. Where is God trying to inject mercy into number one on your list? Where is God saying, I am with you in there? Do you see it? Are you willing to receive it? Because that can be just a place of a lack of faith. I'm not, Lord, I don't want to hear that you're in my sickness. I don't want to hear that. This is almost like, if you really go with me, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Lord, you're not with me, and therefore I'm not going to listen to you. So therefore, you're not with me. I don't hear you. Examine your hearts. So mercy allows us to be aware that you can come back to Christ, not with an equal offering. Like, what do you come back when you receive mercy? I come back with sin, and I walk away with grace. So you don't have to come in and have everything organized. You just come back with your struggle, with your pain. I want you to begin to discern, ladies, like where are those places of agitation? If I'm your doctor and you tell me when you eat this, right, and if you only get 4 hours of sleep and this, then you have a bad day. I know you're going to think I'm one of the smartest doctors. I might actually say, don't eat that, do this, and get more than 4 hours of sleep. That's an incredible insight. You must begin to examine, what are those places? So that when God is manifesting his presence, your reaction is in, I don't want to deal with you. I don't want this. I'm going to run away from you. God is in the things that you wrote down. It's so utterly liberating that for those of you that are still stuck in the blame game, it begs the question, when are you going to let God off the hook? For whatever happened in your life, whatever pain, whatever choices you folks have made, and whatever the choices people have made in your life that have hurt you, that have inflicted pain upon you, yes, God is there. Sometimes when I work with the sick folks, one of the first things I have to do is get them to believe that. And once they believe, something beautiful transpires. But we who are healthy, we can't get there because we say, well, you're not with me. Mercy is God's way of saying, I am with you always, and you don't have to come back with everything perfectly organized. You have to come back to me making a free will choice. I come back. I come back because I know you are there waiting for me. It's the embrace of the Father and the prodigal son. I come back. I know the place where I am received. A very interesting way to examine this is to think of a moment in your life where you were absolutely received back somewhere by a person or by a situation. Maybe you get off the plane, you were away for 6 months, and Emma's like, Aunt Jenny, welcome home, right? And you go to that place of reception. I don't care where it is, but I don't want it like social only. I want it deeper. And I want you to go through that place to Christ, because Christ is actually in that place as well. So go to a place where you're like, wow. And it doesn't have to be necessarily a place that you always remember so well. And you go, I am well received there. I am loved in that place. Then through that place, you can find Christ, I promise you. Sometimes I lead pilgrimages to Mexico, and I help these sisters. And I know as soon as I'm in Mexico, their radar is up, right? To what end? Because they know that I am going to receive them, but more than that, they receive me. I can go through that place and encounter Christ. I don't know if you know where you are received. Where, and then through there, you can get that sense, I am with you always. I am in that. Now, don't be surprised if there's a little bit of a swirl around that receptivity, because you know that that is where you encounter God. That's where you are loved. In order to be aware of this, we have to realize that where God is in the present. Yes, he's in your past, but he's not like just in the future. I think so many times we say, when I get my act together, I will be much more aware of God. Catechism says, when the Lord God approached Moses, I am who am, he says. Say this to the people, I am has sent me to you. I am. Imagine, why would a God define himself as I am? What is that for you? What is he defining for you at this moment? It says it expresses God as what he is, infinitely above everything else and infinitely present. It could be, ladies, at times we hold on to the insignificance or our brokenness when we have a chance to encounter God's like loving embrace of us at a time. I'm sure you've held your kids when they're fussy and screaming and yelling, and you're holding them as tight as you can. You just want to say, I'm here. Like, I'm here. What does that mean? I want you to take time also on this retreat to think of that, those times when you were like, this is where I'm really received. You will find Christ. And those places will speak above the agitation and the confusion when you feel like I'm alone in this. I'm alone. If you addressed each of those couple of places where you say, Lord, where are you in this number one bucket? Whatever that is. Number two, number three. If you spend time and say, Lord, speak to me in this place. Let us speak together in this place. Something will happen. God will reveal. And so the very place that you live in denial, or the very place that you say it's not my fault, or it's everybody else's fault, or this is why I'm a victim, that place may actually be the place of incredible encounter of God. God is not just at the top of the mountain. He is in the journey. And this is when you begin to see things for what they are. So I can be a fraction of God's love in the world. The sin of humanity just divides that. It divides you from you and your Creator. Let's say you and I are having dinner. Everything's going great. And then I sin. The wall goes up. Right? But we were in communion. Look, Do you know that I'm on the other side of the wall from you? Do you get that? Or do you think, oh my gosh, the wall went up and that's all she wrote and there's nothing else, that's it. Knock down the wall. Knock down that wall, but have confidence that God is waiting on the other side of the wall. Because if you don't, this is where you're going to start to think, I'm abandoned, I'm broken, this and that, and you start listening to the false voices. Trust me. And guess what? People then run into the little denial cave, right? The denial cave. Non-responsiveness, lack of charity, etc. The evil one runs to that place to speak with you. The communion that Father Raymond and I want you to understand is the communion that you had on the day of your baptism. God made the promise, I am with you always. But many people move out of that place. What is trying to tell you to leave that place of communion? Is it your past sins? Is it your current imperfections? Is it something that you just feel overwhelmed by? Come on, bring that to the Lord. That is the place where you can say, oh man, Lord, I don't know why my struggles keep coming up, or why does my past keep mocking me? What is this all about? Have you forgiven me? Have you loved me in that place? Haven't we talked about that? Haven't I given that over to you? Yeah, okay. So why do you want to talk about it again? Like what? Why do you want to keep going back there? It's almost true to say to some of you, I don't know all of you, that every time you prefer to go back to the pain and sort of look through the old scrapbooks, even though the Lord has cleansed them and he's put his hand on those memories, I almost think that it's like sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy that you just can't or won't see yourself as one who is forgiven. It's just easier. That's much more familiar to some of you. Look at the places that keep coming back at you. And then what I want you to do is say, okay, Lord, let's talk about this. I mean, I'm just going to bring it to you and say, we've talked about this, but I'm just going to thank you for that mockery or that pain or that memory. I'm going to thank you. This is going to sound totally ridiculous, but I'm going to thank you for that sin, that wound, that pain, that abortion, that abuse. I'm going to really go there and I'm going to thank you. And I'm going to invite you there. I'm going to say, I'm with you. You're going to say, I am with you, Lord. I am with you, Lord, in this pain. Not, I am with you, Sally. We already know that. He's already made the promise. But I want you to go there and be like, yeah, Lord, I am with you. Because what happens is, as soon as he starts to bring the healing, some of us start to disengage. I'm going to pull back, close off, whatever you want. This is a huge place in my ministry where I see people repeating over and over, right? Can we talk about that again? I don't know what we want to talk about. We talked about it like 10 times, and that's like 9 more than I allow. Let's talk about it. And then I sort of like glaze over. I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation where you like glaze over, and then I get pissed. Because I'm like, you're wasting my stinking time. Seriously, I say you're wasting my time. What do you want me to do for you? Go find a girlfriend and cry about your past. And when you want to receive mercy, come on back. It's an active willed decision that I am with you, Lord. I want you to really do a gut check. Something happens and there's a freedom that takes place. One of the analogies I often use sometimes in meeting with folks is, if I have punched you in the face 10 times, all I need to do is cock my fist and pretend like I'm going to hit you again, and you may feel it. I think there are wounds that the evil one knows, and he's like, well, I can't get you to sin there again. I mean, I'm not going to punch you in the face, but all I need to do is cock my fist, and you feel it. And you go back to the pattern of sinfulness or isolation or pain. Now, I can tell you that that's not God's plan and that's not God's work. So let me go there with you right now. Some of you may think that that's a holy place. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not a holy place. That is not a place of holiness. I can't say it any clearer. Because what happens is you end up not saying, Lord, I know you are with me. And more than that, I am with you, Lord. Like turning around. Turn around that whole promise of God. I am with you, Sally. And examine in your life when you say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not with you. I am not with you. And if you can get to that place, those places, I'll give you whatever, however many you need. If you can get to those places where you tell the Lord, I am not with you on this one, then you will begin to find the power of God working through those places. Amen? Does everybody understand it? Because otherwise, you just go around the water wheel like 1,000 times. And then I go to confession for you. Not for your sins, but because I'm angry at you. Why? Because you're not living in the moment. And further, for some of you, you're not letting God use you. And that's just as bad. You're not letting God use you. And you're not saying, man, all those times I got mocked by that thing and it kept coming alive. And I say, Lord, I'm with you in this one. I love that. Thank you for that pain, Lord. Thank you. You know what? The evil one's going to stop coming around. He's going to stop. So it's either spiritual or psychological. And you start saying, thank you, Lord. Okay? If it's from the evil one, he's going to stop going there. If it's not, it may still keep coming. So that's a whole different ballgame. But every time I've said to folks, let's just thank God for that wipeout. Let's thank God right now that you did X, Y, and Z. You've confessed it, right? Yeah, you've done penance for it. Yeah, great. Then we are just going to rejoice in the I am with you-ness of God. Now, are you with God in this place? Holy moly, there's a conversion that takes place. Because that was once a place where you are not good enough. That's your place of you're just not smart enough, tall enough, whatever. Gratitude will keep the evil one away. Isn't that amazing? And I stand in front of an altar where we say Eucharist, which means what? Thanksgiving. So you're a thankful woman. Like Mary, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. You're going to do some amazing things. If you're an entitled woman, even to negativity or pain, Yeah, you're going to stay in the same place. I'm entitled. Doesn't anybody see I'm sad? Doesn't anybody see that I'm sick? Look, I have dark circles. Nobody asks how your circles are. Hey, how's your circles, Sally? Right? Like, what do? Pass the ketchup. Love your circles. What do? I mean, come on. I mean, that's weird. But you're like, I want the attention. Ask me about my circles. It doesn't make sense. Like, examine that. What do you want them to say to you? And something powerful happens, because then it's like, come on, come to me and let's just gather around my brokenness and my sadness. No. I want you to go through your dark circles and love people. Going through those circles and loving them is so utterly powerful. And here's the grace: then you know it's of God. Because only God can use those, so to speak, dark circles for his glory. Is everybody with me? Yeah? The I am with you is not, I'm going to keep saying it, it's not God. It's you. You are not with him. If you can't remember anything, remember, keep saying, Lord, I am with you in this situation. But here's the thing. I was reading this book, Into Your Hands, Father, and it keeps talking about the new past, okay? So look, like, you make a promise, like, Lord, those things that you keep bringing up, those five, that bucket list of five things, and you start getting a sense that God's in each, you know what you can do? You could actually go to your past, and you can say, Lord, can you tell me that you were with me in this? And even if you didn't have any faith, even if you dunk at that time, you're that 18-year-old person that's just struggling with sins or purity or anger or whatever, and you say, Lord, man, you must have been with me there. Because look at what worse could have happened. And better yet, think, gosh, that was one wipeout? I could have had 25. You must have been there. And even though you may not recognize it, there must have been some semblance of your awareness of God in that place, in that struggle. What does it do? It creates a totally new past. Your past is no longer the accusatory place that it was, but it's actually a place where you can say, I can see God's promise. God made the promise. And then this projects into the future. I am with you. Lord, I am with you. These five things that are just really heavy in my heart, and I know you're with me, and we're going to talk about these things on this retreat, and I'm going to give you freedom, and I'm not going to blow you off, and I'm not going to grab my rosary when it gets uncomfortable and say, I don't want to talk about it, or let me just read some prayer in that book or whatever. And he said, I want to talk about this, and you keep disengaging. The one who's really not with the Lord is you. And then you have to examine yourself, examine the question, why? Why am I not there? Do I not want to hear it? Do I not trust you? Stay with me. This is where you'll get to the wound. The wound is not the five things, I promise you. The wound is not the five things. The wound is not the five things. It's the fear, the doubt, the insecurity underneath it. Man, sometimes I'm with people in spiritual direction, like, so what? Tell me more. What about that? What about that? What about that? And all of a sudden, they get all squirrely in my chair, right? And I'm like, tell me more. What's the point? What was your heart saying? Get to the point. I understand the adjectives, and I understand how you feel. I don't care. Get to the point. What is the wound? And then you will understand that that is the place that the evil one always is gravitating to. And that's the place where you say, I am not with you, Lord. That is the place. That will change everything in how you live and how you sense the awareness, the presence of God in your life. That unpacks everything. And then you will have freedom because you can say, yeah, that's the evil one kicking me in the wound of fear, kicking me in the wound of abandonment, kicking me in the wound of rejection. That is the source of the wound. I can't tell you how many times over the last months and years I've been like, okay, great, great. Get to the point, get to the point, get to the point. And then all of a sudden we get there and I'm like, oh, and all of a sudden they're like, whoa, that's it. I say, then what do you need? Let's start in that core place. And then we can heal. That, ladies, is the freedom that means I am with you always to the end of time. Because otherwise, I know this is strange, but you're going to ping off people who have the same wounds as you. I'm not totally sure, and I see this quite frequently in marriages, definitely. But I'd like to tell you that sometimes we're friendships with people who have the same brokenness. And then I'm drawn and I fight with people with the same brokenness. It's almost, you almost have to like discern, like, why am I always fighting with this person? Well, it could be their personality. It could be X, Y, and Z. It could be something else. And it could be both of those wounds, and God's trying to, the evil one's trying to say, oh no, let's just bring these guys and let them just plow into each other. But you're not doing it in the same way. You're doing it in totally different ways. Oh, your kid's this and my kid's that. And all of a sudden it's like, well, we're plowing into each other. It's not about the kids. Something else. Oh, her pride and my anger. No, it could be that. It could be something even deeper. So I need you not to disengage. The freedom that God gives is a freedom that was limited through your sinfulness. Okay? So your sins, they don't give you freedom. They give you shackles. Look, you can go out and do X, Y, and Z. Anybody can do that. But what God is looking for is the freedom to be aware of the struggle. This book, I've Loved You with an Everlasting Love, it says, you know, to understand what betrayal is, it's a very beautiful phrase, but I need you to listen. I would like you to think of betrayal as distraction, purposeful distraction from a friend who is totally present to you. How many times do we come and pray and we disengage and we just say, I don't want to talk about it? There's a form of betrayal there because then you go out and you talk to the negative person, the negative voice. God is there, you're in communion, you're just doing your best, like, Lord, I'm struggling in this, and he's hearing you, and you're listening, I hope you're listening, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm going to go talk about my past. Look, that's like a betrayal. You brought it to the Lord, like, I want to go strong with you tonight. That's betrayal. Cut it out. Because what happens is, how then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Lord, you're never with me. You're never with me. Why do I pray? And I understand spiritual struggles and attack. Look, like, quit then having a conversation about what a terrible person you are because you didn't do the dishes. Like, who cares? It's a form of betrayal. It's not applicable for all of you, but some of you are in that place where you're like, yeah, Lord, I just disengage from you. I don't want to
I don't want to hear what you say. I don't want to deal with this. And again, I want you to go back. Why? Why don't you want to hear what he has to say? Is it something you're afraid of? Is it something you don't want to, that you disagree with him about? What ends up happening is it ends up just being then sort of a situation where you don't feel like he's with you. The answer to the times that you're in those places is to go and to really pray, and not to pray over Jesus, but to pray so that you can hear. How many times you folks, you go and you pray and you're like, I'm just going to pray over him. And maybe he's really in that place where he's trying to tell you, look, you know, I have a solution for you. When you suffer, ladies, there's something of grace in the suffering. John Paul II called it moral suffering, when you have like a grieving of the soul. He called it a deep need of the heart. But the mystery that God is really speaking to you is actually that he's in the pain. That is not sort of a pious thought or a placebo. But examine, when you're really in a lot of pain, do you have any awareness of God? Pain physically, pain emotionally, maybe pain spiritually because of your past sins or a situation that happens? Like, probably not. And if you could just recognize, God made the promise, I'm with you, then you will come back to that grace. What can you do on the retreat that will help you navigate this? Well, let's surrender. And the three, four, five things that you wrote down, I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to talk about? And like really kind of listen. Lord, why does this thing keep coming up? Maybe some pain, some wound, some past situation just keeps coming up. You're like, oh, you know, maybe it's time for us to just, for you to tell me where you were and for me to say, okay, I am with you. And turn that one on its head and say, Lord, I thank you for that pain. It's hard. You have to go there. You have to see where you're disengaging and where you're present. And you have to maybe even say, Lord, it hurts. It hurts. This one hurts. It hurts to think of this. But I know that your love is there. What's the purpose of this? It is allowing you to be aware in the moment that God was with you then, and he's with you now. A lot of times, unless we have that encounter in bucket number one and like really give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, ultimately what happens is sometimes when there's beautiful, peaceful moments, we just want to bring that back up and like throw it on the dining room table. It's like an old dead carcass. And it's like, oh, look at that old dead carcass, right? Let's just talk about this again. Like, what? Well, isn't that a difficult encounter? I'm not by any means suggesting this will be settled, but remember on your baptism day, there was a mutual promise. God says, I am with you always. And by that baptism, there's an inherent response. Lord, I am with you always. Like there is a mutual response. Even in the pain, even in the sinfulness, even in their trauma, I am with you. So you take those 3, 4, 5 things. You say, Lord, what do you want to speak about? And maybe you have to really write it out. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes you just have to kind of examine it. But then at the bitter end, Lord, you say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you love me enough to convert that pain into something beautiful. The Lenten journey is converting wounds into grace. Now remember, that's always sort of a place where the evil one knows he can kind of give you a hard time. So I just want you to be aware of it. You know, he knows he can get back at you and say, oh man, you're never going to be like, you're not like that. But no problem. Actually, remember, he always just sort of goes back at the places where he knows you have your wounds, the scars. No problem. It's actually sort of kind of funny, ladies, but it's a confirmation that it's from the evil one. Like, oh, just you again. I recognize the knock at the door. Okay? So I want you to kind of take these to prayer. I don't know what Father Raymond's going to speak about, but I think those of you that kind of want to go into a place of like healing and conversion. There you are, I was just talking trash about you. Poof. You're like Jesus, you just came through the wall. Holy moly. Anyway, welcome. I don't want you to disengage. All right. Now, the last thing, I want you to sort of wrap the Blessed Mother around those situations, like, come in, and then you invite Our Lady in. And I don't know, I think you got to like let Our Lady kind of address it with you. Like she's sitting on the bench facing Christ, you're facing Christ, but she's next to you, or she's speaking with you or for you, whatever, like a mom kind of speaking. But I just want you to go there and really allow her maternal role to bring some healing. If you don't know what it looks like, remember she's an advocate. She's full of grace. Behold thy mother, behold thy son. So she plays a role of protecting her children. I think it's important we see her not as a statue, but as a woman that was flesh and bones and life and tears and eating and drinking and sleeping and doing all the other things that women do. And she had this maternal heart. And so you can just ask Our Lady, Blessed Mother, like, help me articulate this. Help me understand. The only other thing that occurred to my heart is just ask her to sort of heal that place in your heart or your body that needs healing. Like, Mary, I invite you to put your hand on that place in my body or my heart that's so wounded. So if there was pain or trauma or sickness or whatever. Right? She plays that role. That's her role. So you got about, I'm going to close with a prayer, but you have about 15 minutes. Some of you can stay here. We're going to start silence after Father's talk just because I want you to sort of allow the grace of the Holy Spirit in. It's even during the meals, so you can talk during dinner. But some of you got to just sort of take the walk now for 15, 20 minutes. and then grab a quick bite to eat and settle in. You know, when you come into the chapel, I'm just going to ask you to be real quiet. Okay, so we'll have evening prayer at 7, so you have like almost an hour and a half. Remember, in the hallways, even now, just if you need to make use of the phone, just go outside. Okay? Any questions? The last thing is all the talks are recorded, and eventually I sort of re-listen to them a second time, and then we eventually get them out there. So we do that, you know, the whole purpose is evangelization, getting people to Christ and getting you to be really women supporting the church, supporting vocation, supporting priests, supporting the poor and going out and helping them. So that's why we do these. But let's try to take a real deeper, courageous effort for some of you to go into those four buckets, okay? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy. And may Almighty God bless you, ladies, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, we'll see you. 5:45 is dinner, and then otherwise 7 o'clock back in here, okay? God bless you.